Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
This College Football Week 2 Picks edition of the Sports Gambling Podcast is presented by WinBet. WinBet is now live in Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia. From boosted parlays to in-game odds on every major sport, WinBet has what you need to win. Sign up today to receive a $500 risk-free sports bet. Download the WinBet app now or visit WynNBet.com and start winning today. We're also brought to you by PropSwap, America's number one app to buy and sell sports bets. Use promo code SGP on your first deposit and receive up to $500 in bonus cash. That's PropSwap.com, promo code SGP. We're also brought to you by PicksWise. PicksWise is the number one home of free sports betting picks. Visit PicksWise.com to make your next bet better. We're also brought to you by Odds Crowd. Are you the best football bettor in the United States? Odds Crowd challenges you to prove it with their free-to-play fantasy betting contest. Over $30,000 up for grabs. Go to oddscrowd.com to sign up. And of course, don't forget to download the SGPN app. SGPN is giving you a chance to win $100,000 NFL Week 1 exclusively on the SGPN app.
This is Mike Leach, head football coach at Mississippi State, and you're listening to SGPN. Let it ride.
Everyone to the Sports Gambling Podcast. I'm Sean, stacking the money green with my partner in picks, Ryan Real Money Kramer. What's happening, Kramer Dog?
Sean, we have made it. We've made the trip. We're in Las Vegas.
We are in Las Vegas.
Let's go. We're in this beautiful the house that I guess the wind built for us.
Yes.
It's beautiful.
For Blue Wire, we're in the Blue Wire Studios in the wind. This place is amazing. We're here talking week two college football predictions. Joining us, as always, to talk college football, Colby Dan, aka the Dantabase. What's happening, Colby?
I mean, this is amazing, guys. This is amazing.
This is, this studio is so awesome, top to bottom. I feel like we're not classy enough to come here. There was a debate whether or not we should be wearing pants. We opted for shorts because of the Vegas heat. Maybe we should have went pants. This feels like a pants studio, but we're rocking the shorts, keeping it casual.
Everyone was making a big deal. Fans back in college football. That was great in Blacksburg. It was great seeing Sandman. It was great seeing Florida State. But this is even better, Sean.
Oh, this is, again, fans are back. We're back. We're back in Las Vegas. Going to be watching college football all week, and we have a chock full slate here of week two college football predictions. Of course, all the betting lines provided by our good pals over at the Win, and make sure you check out WinBet, where they bring you the excitement of Win Las Vegas to online sports betting and casino play. Oh, they got it all. Exclusive rewards right at your fingertips. NFL, college football, MLB, even NHL right around the corner. Boosted parlays, the live in-game odds. Every major sport, they have what you need to win. Download BetWin. It's just that simple. Make sure you grab that WinBet app now or visit WynNBet.com. Get that $500 risk-free sports bet. Again, it is I already got the WinBet app now because we're in Las Vegas. I'm going to be placing numerous wagers over at the Win Sportsbook. We're going to be joined in a little bit by one of the senior traders over at the Win. Ask him, maybe pull back the curtain a little bit, see where the sharp money's coming in, see where the square money's coming in, and see how we can do. Let's while we're waiting here, recap week one college football. How are we doing, Kramer? What are we looking at?
Forget the records for a second.
Let's the records out the window.
With the entirety of America learning re-remembering that Enter Sandman, the tradition in Blacksburg Lane Stadium, by the way, started the same year I attended as a freshman. No coincidence there, but the entire world seems to be re-remembered of this greatness of college football. Super stoked they did the orange theme. It kind of popped to those nice fall autumn leaves in the backdrop there in the rolling hills of Virginia. That was college football. That was the upset we needed. Unfortunately, Sam Howell, much like Mitch Trubisky before him, looked like trash against my Hokies defense.
Sam Howell's Heisman stock all the way down. Matt Corral, his stock is up. All right, we're going to be joined in a second by Alan Berg, the senior trader over at A Win Bet. Talk a little behind the scenes action. See where the biggest NFL liability is a little bit. Talk a little NFL as we get ready. We got the NFL Picks podcast coming out next week. And I mean, again, it is just a football cornucopia as we get ready to go here, counting down the NFL, the college football. It's all here. Joining us in studio, Alan Berg. Alan, you work for WinBet, correct?
Yes, I do, sir. I'm the senior trading manager over there, attempting to not lose us a pile of money like I did the other day.
Oh no!
Oh, now you said you lost us or you lost you the WinBet a pile of money. Did you have certain liability? Like, what crushed the books the other day?
Well, you know, we had a really good day from the handle perspective. There was a lot of action with our new push towards football season, which has been awesome. But we had a fortunate customer hit a $10, 14 that was, you know, flying all over. And I had to, you know, jump on Twitter and do the whole SpongeBob, all right, I'm out of here.
I did see that ticket. And how many legs was it? It was like a 14 leg.
14.
$10 to win 79 grand. I tweeted out the photo of the ticket saying, do you hedge? A lot of people were saying, hedge. Of course you hedge. We are guys who let it ride over here. We are team no hedge. He didn't hedge things. And the last leg of his parlay was the under. It was 73 and a half in the Ole Miss game. Seemed like it was going to be completely easy. And then towards the end of the game, there was an onside kick. They almost got it. And again, as a gambler, I was jealous of the sweat. I mean, certainly jealous of $79,000, but I was just jealous that, you know, he was sweating this out, and it was awesome. It's got to be exciting. So other than that, though, what were some of your biggest wins and losses from a house perspective?
You know, the unders obviously were coming in at pretty good rate, as you saw from the parlay. I think we kind of look at it like, you know, maybe there's something as far as crowds being back. Because, I mean, you know, my man right here is wearing a Virginia Tech shirt.
Let's go, man.
The atmosphere out of the gate was like, wow, this just seems louder than it's ever been. And I think just people are just so excited to be back. So maybe there's something to that with the red zone. I've mentioned on a few shows of especially with NFL, I noticed a huge decline in red zone defensive percentage numbers in places like Denver, where it's impossible to score in the red zone because it's so loud there. So maybe there's some of that going on in college as well.
Now you mentioned that in the NFL. Are you guys actually are you factoring that into the totals coming up for NFL Week One? The fact that the fans are going to be there, Seattle, of course, they don't have a Week One home game, but they're like a classic example of you can't hear the snap count. It's getting too loud. Do you factor that? Are you going to factor that in?
Yeah, I mean, we've made little moves here and there in the very beginning. You get kind of your sharpest stuff real early usually, and that's kind of why you like to get out with a different number a little bit than market. But what you find out is there's always somebody willing to give you some action on off numbers on market.
Yep.
So you just have to be careful. And so you kind of take what you want, and then you get to a market number. And then from there, you just kind of see how it all plays out with all the parlays and everything else that comes with all the action you can get involved in.
Yeah, I would have to imagine the public is going to be coming to Vegas looking to get down with that angle of like, oh, the crowds are back. It's going to be louder. I'm going to like the home teams. I'm going to like the defenses a little bit more. So yeah, which brings to the question, like when you guys are looking at Week One results now, right? Like a lot of Week One is on air. So now you're learning. Do you take outside of the home field stuff? Is there anything else that you guys learned Week One that kind of pops out as something that you can kind of adjust, pivot, and make the correction?
Yeah, I think, you know, number one, we learned Clemson is not the next Alabama, I think. You know, Georgia obviously looked strong, and we kind of moved them as the number two spot behind Alabama. But then you have to raise Alabama kind of even more.
Yeah. How big are you going to have to make the spread at some point where they're just a 18-point road favorite and just demolishing teams? What about from a futures perspective? I, of course, mistakenly thought Washington may sneak into the college football playoff. That was my crazy, crazy kind of long shot future predictions. What have you seen biggest shift as far as either in the college futures market? Again, like you said, Clemson getting a loss, that certainly is going to hurt their chances of getting the college football playoffs, although they still have a decent path. But have you, what's the biggest adjustment in the futures pricing?
Yeah. I mean, mainly it's that we, you know, even cut Alabama down more. And then, you know, like Penn State and Texas are now like involved, you know, they're not necessarily the team that we're afraid of or think is going to beat us. But, you know, once they have a big win, you know, you kind of have to, all right, let's cut this down a little bit. And from there, you know, like you said, Clemson got, you know, raised up. So if you think they still have the, you know, chops to get there and handle Alabama, you know, come to the book.
Certainly not by watching that game, but if you believe in Dabo and believe in Big Cinco, they can kind of figure it out. And maybe that neutral site field game just wasn't a great start for them. But what about, do you have a rooting interest as a trader for the college football season, where one team, maybe it's UCLA, if they somehow win or get to the college football playoff or whatever, is there one future you're really rooting against?
Not at the moment. Like we're pretty balanced for the most part. I think that, you know, this is kind of one of those things where there'll be that team, right, that's like 3-0, 4-0, that all of a sudden it starts taking action. So we're probably going to be fading whoever that maybe outsider is. But Alabama obviously is usually a good result for the book because, you know, even if a guy wants to bet 3,000 on it, you know, you're not going to get a big return on it.
Yeah. So you're still fine coming the other side. What about the NFL? I know week one right around the corner, we're going to be doing our NFL picks podcast tomorrow, but is there any sort of early liability that you're already having to move numbers a little bit just based off of where the action's coming in? I've seen a number of small road favorites, even non-conference road favorites, which typically a red flag, but I'm having trouble talking myself into some of these home dogs. As a senior trader, is there something you're keeping your eye on? Is there like an 80-20 split already that you're seeing?
So you don't like the Lions?
I actually do like the Lions. Oh, okay. Because not to win outright, but just San Francisco strikes me as that team, the 49ers, that is going to ruin everyone's survivor contest, everyone's three-team teaser. They're just, it's too easy. I've been gambling for too long. And Alan, you know, as a guy who works behind the book, bets like those, it's too easy, dangerous.
Sean, you're talking to two guys who are considering the Texans and their survivor pool week one. So
you can't make Trevor Lawrence a 3-point road favorite. That team was 1-15 last year.
In a survivor pool, you have to go those routes.
Yeah.
Because if you pick the same stuff everybody else is going to pick, you're never going to win. You need those good teams at the end to have a chance to win it all. So I don't disrespect that pick. I disrespect the Texans, but not that pick. But, you know, I think basically when you go into week one, you know what sides you're going to need, right? Like, we're going to need the Lions to beat parlays. We're going to need
the Texans.
We're going to need the Bears. You know, that game's interesting.
Really?
I think that we'll see some decent, sharp action now that that's been driven up. You know, they still have Deshaun Watson, and he kind of said the same thing. Like, you know, we know Trevor Lawrence is going to be good. But Peyton Manning threw how many picks in his rookie season?
Could be a little rough.
Yeah, you know, so I don't think that's a slam dunk road favorite. But yeah, I mean, you know who you're going to need. You're going to need the Bears, you know, against the Rams. You're going to need, so you can.
What about the Bengals Vikings game? Do you have a position there? Because to me, it just, I'm looking at it, Minnesota coming in. I think Joe Burrow isn't quite 100%. Where are you at with that from a handle perspective? The Bengals, some people are talking themselves into it. So I was curious if the public is actually getting behind them, or are they just locking up Minnesota? Kirk Cousins not in prime time.
They're mostly on Minnesota when it comes to parlays, for sure.
Yeah,
I think the number's just too short.
That.
Yeah. But you know, you're a true animal if you're betting the Bengals Vikings game in week one. I think.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm an animal, and I'm here at the win. So, what about some of these futures bets? Have you seen any sort of crazy movement Josh Allen and Russell Wilson. There are a couple guys we're backing. I'm also thinking of getting down on a dark horse, Jalen Hurts bet. Again, people assume I'm a homer, but what do you guys have Jalen Hurts at? And do you have any sort of sharp action you're worried about in the futures market?
So I'm not exactly sure what Jalen Hurts is off the top of my head.
Yeah, but I've seen 65 to 80 to 1.
I think he's in that 50 to 75 range, I think, okay. Right now. As far as the funniest thing about the MVP, you know who our biggest liability is right now?
No.
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And you know what? I like Washington. I do like Washington. Yeah. I think they're an interesting team. For him to win it all or to win the MVP would be pretty something. I mean,
there are some maniacs betting on Ryan. I mean, as a member of Team Ryan myself, I'm a fan, but boy, to put down what is he going off at?
Well, that's the thing, right? Is that the liability can build up very quickly on things that are long shots.
Yeah,
right?
50 to 1, 100 to 1.
I mean, we've got parlays that are wrapped in like Steelers futures where lose like six figures on just, you know, a random parlay that has a championship stuff on it. So once you can do future parlays, I mean, the things can get pretty insane.
Well, and we just had Claudia Belafato on. We did a NFL Week 1 props show, and make sure you check out her show, just launched Bet to Win. And we went over later on the show a bunch of the like specialty props that you guys have been offering out. I don't see a lot of other books offering them. It was kind of a mix of which rookie will have the most passing yards. I really like the matchup props where it was like a quarterback and receiver versus another quarterback and receiver. And Ryan and I had a lot of fun breaking those down. Check out that episode. But how do you handicap something like that? And have you been seeing a lot of people come in on those?
Yeah, we've got some interest in it for sure. I think, you know, with the WynnBET brand, we really want to kind of develop some uniqueness in our markets, you know, because everyone has the line, everyone has parlays, so trying to come up with some unique stuff that gets conversation going. And, you know, I mean, one of them was we put up the first ever exact season wins in the NFL where you could bet.
Yeah, like, exactly. That's really cool.
Awesome.
Yeah, and those liabilities can get pretty crazy right away, too.
Well, because so many times you see the number, and I hate it when I listen to a show where they go, oh, they set the number exactly right. And then you go, I wish I could just bet that they would go exactly 9-8, and having that option is pretty awesome. Now, my one last question here for you, and appreciate your time, and obviously make sure you check out WynnBET, get that $500 risk-free bet. You guys, right now, live in Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia. I know Arizona is in the works, but of those states, is there one state that jumps out as the most action, most activity? The residents that are really taking towards this online gambling.
Virginia has been really great.
Awesome.
I was going to pick that.
Nice. Yeah. I think we're all really excited for Arizona. I think, you know, the company has a really nice attachment down there. Obviously we're not too far away, so we have a lot of people that come up to visit this beautiful property. And right now, actually, in Arizona, we're offering if you sign up before we launch, you can get a $200 free bet as well as the $1,000 risk-free bet.
Yes. So, wow. I just got breaking news. The risk-free bet is now $1,000. They know how to do it at the Wynn, getting you ready for football season. Well, appreciate the time, Alan. And now we're going to do the rest of the podcast and try and take your money. So,
all right, take it easy, guys.
Wish us the best of luck. Either way, it'll come out good. Thanks, and appreciate your time, Alan.
Thanks a lot, guys.
That was awesome.
Thank you.
Take care.
Yeah, it is. It's always nice to kind of get that behind the scenes angle, hearing what they need, what they don't need, what they're worried about.
Sean, I'm pretty sure I heard him call me sharp with my Texans money. I'm pretty sure he called me sharp.
Yes, that's how I took it. I feel like, you know, we haven't made our NFL picks yet, but there is some. Definitely some compliments there from the trading perspective.
I know he called me a sharp. You don't have to beat around the bush.
All right. We didn't really get to a complete week one recap, but not too bad. Hit a couple of our locks here. Colby, I know you've been touting a bunch. I hit my lock. I pushed on my bonus lock. We went to the UCLA game. That was fun. I feel like most of us are still in recovery from that. It was a quick turnaround from the Saturday 8-hour marathon and now coming to Vegas on a Tuesday.
Well, now I understand why they don't do a home and home with ECU, all right? Because they know.
Colby just getting his voice back.
Very true. Very true. Look, it turns out, you know, sometimes You bring ECU energy to a UCLA game, and they're not ready for it. They're not ready for it, Sean.
Funny enough, it was a great. It was one of the better UCLA atmospheres I've ever experienced.
I thought so. Yeah,
taking down the.
What
great,
does that mean? 50-50?
There were a lot of LSU fans there. There were a lot of LSU fans.
It was a great game. And again, Colby, kudos to you. You were super high on UCLA coming into the season. I think our buddy Phil Steele was as well, and certainly have met those expectations. And you know, winning that LSU game, that to me was just too easy, because LSU, we love Coach O, but clearly I don't think he's going to get that magic back, at least this season.
We love Coach O because of his tweets and his you
just
know,
him
persona.
Tweeting out, hold yeah. that tiger every other
exactly,
day.
Exactly. I mean, Chip Kelly out-schemed him. And look, we were on this on the College Football Experience. We were on Virginia Tech Moneyline and UCLA Moneyline back in April.
That's right.
Back in April. So, hey, there we go. 61% picking
like
every game week one.
A 6-month-old tout. Beautiful. Beautiful. By the way, though, it's the UCLA defense that impressed me, not to go too deep into this game.
No, and the defensive backfield, they were tackling really well, covering really well. I mean, there was a while there, I think in the third quarter, and LSU still had like 3 rushing yards or something crazy. They really, for a Chip Kelly team, they played some defense.
It's not brought up enough that the SEC since the year 2000, 5-18 on the road at the Pac-12. It was 5-17. Now it's 5-18. I'm telling you, I mean, there's an advantage to playing at home in general in college football. So we were on that for a minute.
Which can bring us to the closing point of the recap, which is why, as a member of the Alliance, I was rooting for the Pac-12 versus the SEC. Let's go.
I love that. Team Already Alliance. Some Alliance loyalty.
Let's go.
Okay, before we start predicting week two here, Colby, I think we're contractually obligated to you, to let you have the floor to tout about FCS football week one.
Yes, I mean, for forever, Ryan was giving me a hard time calling it minor college football. Well, look, and I know you were big on Washington, but so was Real Money Kramer.
Yeah.
So was Phil Steele. The Montana Grizzlies,
guys.
Which is an FCS, you know, a blue blood in the FCS ranks. They come up to Seattle. They smack them. We see South Dakota State, you know, blow away Colorado State. East Tennessee State takes it to the SEC in Vanderbilt. I mean, UConn. Randy Etzel resigns after Holy Cross wins by double digits against UConn.
That was a funny result.
The FCS retired a man.
Yeah. Reigning national champion, Randy Etzel, you know, goes 0-2 and just calls it quits, walks off into the sunset. But you saw, I was on UC Davis beating Tulsa, the Big Sky Conference in general in the FCS. How about this? UC Davis wins outright at Tulsa. Eastern Washington wins in the Death Star here in Vegas against UNLV. And then Montana, I mean, and then and every other team covered when they played the FBS.
Colby, you remember as a hashtag Team Thunder and Lightning over here, we're not quite as close as we normally are, but I did throw out a bonus lock of Northern Iowa plus 37.5 versus Iowa.
I can't believe people were surprised by that. The Panthers of Northern Iowa do this every time they play Iowa or Iowa State.
That's enough FCS. All right, cut it. He went over 67 seconds.
All right, we got the FCS talk in as we promised we would let Colby. And of course, make sure you check out PropSwap.com, the place where America goes to buy and sell sports bets. I know I'm going to grab some tickets over at the Win, and then, you know, if they're looking good, they've increased in value, you can take them and just sell them over at PropSwap.com. Use that promo code SGP and get up to $500 in bonus cash. Again, PropSwap.com. You don't need to win your bets. You can have them just improve in value. You can get some great prices over there. Take your win a bet slips and go get paid over at PropSwap.com. First game in the 6-pack. Eastern Michigan heads to Wisconsin. Wisconsin, a 26-point favorite. Total sitting at 51.5. Wisconsin, obviously, coming off the Penn State loss. Mm-hmm. Is this a get-right game for the Badgers, Colby?
100%. And I love Chris Creighton in Eastern Michigan. Normally I rep them hard when it comes to Maction, but Wisconsin's going to get this back on track. And really, when you look at it, even as me, I was on Penn State and I thought they got fortunate. Wisconsin got inside the 10, I think twice, maybe 3 times, and made mistakes down there. Graham Mertz going to have to learn from that. And what better way to learn than face a MAC defense? Another thing is Eastern Michigan kind of plays like Wisconsin in the MAC. Well, that worked. They have Big Ten wins over the past few years. They beat Rutgers. They beat Purdue. They beat Illinois. Wisconsin is like a mirror image of them in a way, but at a much better level.
I was going to say they're yeah. like the little brother. And I mean, again, as bad as Graham Mertz look, the quarterbacks of the Big Ten have not been awe-inspiring. But in this situation, I think you nailed it. This is kind of a little brother, big brother situation. Fortunately, my power ratings have this, Sean. We're sitting at 28.5, so I love the 2.5 points of value. I think this is a game where Wisconsin, unlike some other teams who maybe got their dream crushed, they're gonna cycle back, circle back, and they're gonna absolutely pummel. We know the score, right? We've seen this. It's like a 70-14 game.
Little note: Eastern Washington has
Michigan. Eastern Michigan.
Sorry, Eastern yeah. Michigan. They have beaten a Big Ten team 3 of the last 4 years. So,
yeah,
not this Big Ten team.
No, yeah. I agree. I do think this is and I was high on Wisconsin. I thought they were going to win, but not cover against Penn State. So
that game was trash.
That game and
that was amazing. That was the best game in 10 years. Dude.
What I think Penn State exposed was that Wisconsin has some issues in the secondary. The Penn State receivers were getting open deep. But I don't think Eastern Michigan is the team that can
That's
take advantage.
That's just Jim Leonard being super aggressive.
Great yes. point, yeah. Sean, because Eastern Michigan, 221 yards on the ground last week. Now they got to take on Wisconsin. Hope Penn State to 50. Tune-up game. Who did they play last week, Colby?
St. Francis.
St. Francis, right. The Red Flash.
And they used two different quarterbacks. I know that's been an issue. Ben Bryant transferring in from Cincinnati. They're gonna have to make up their mind. The two quarterback system will not work against Wisconsin.
Again, you can't if you need to run the ball to win the game. You're not gonna run the ball in this Wisconsin.
Not game. Not yeah. against a huge
49-7.
NC State, the Wolfpack, head to Starkville, Mississippi, to square off against Mississippi State and our boy Coach Leach. Mississippi State right now a 2.5 point home dog, +120 on the money line. 55 is the total. I mean, Mississippi State needed everything they had in that cowbell to squeeze out a win against Louisiana Tech.
Hail State.
Now, NC State, they passed the eye test. They looked really good. Louisiana Tech obviously had a bunch of time to prepare for the air raid. Colby, you were on Louisiana Tech and the points. You probably didn't think it was going to get that close. I you know, eye test tells me to load up on NC State. However, this to me is one of those games, a road favorite coming into Starksville. It's going to be lit. I think the public's going to be all over NC State, but I think Mississippi State could be the play here. Kramer, where are you at? I'll let you go first because I know where Colby's going.
I think had we asked our friend Alan over here,
yeah,
which team he's going to need this weekend,
it's going to be NC State, right?
He would have paused and said,
"Or sorry, he's going to need Mississippi
State. We're going to need yeah. Mississippi State by a mile." Already early indications, heavy money coming in on NC State. They passed the eye test. Those uniforms are fire. This is a team that's going to very quickly gain some hype traction because they often have the recruiting talent to kind of poke their head up and maybe threaten Clemson, as we pointed out. But you know, who did they play last week?
South Florida.
Okay. South Florida to the SEC is a slight upgrade. And I think that's the difference here, right? And what do we see in Coach Leach? Well, they did win the game barely, but they still won the game. They turned the ball over a bunch, right? Like maybe if you look at the stat sheet, it's not quite the same picture. They struggled, and then what happened those last 12 minutes? They unlocked it. So I'm not as worried. I do think this is a classic, take the 2.5, lay the 3.5 situation. So you can take NC State all you want, but when Coach Leach invites us down for a yeah. game this fall,
Colby, I'll remind I'm gonna tell him you were all over the Wolfpack in week two. And you're going to be really embarrassed. What are you on the Wolfpack?
Yeah, it just comes down to talent. It just comes down to talent. It comes down to look, this NC State rushing attack, Zonovan Knight, Ricky Person Jr., they both can play. Devin Leary, he did throw a pick in that South Florida game, but he's a veteran. And Hail State, clearly not where we want them. Look, Leach, it normally takes 3 years with Leach. You look at a Texas Tech, look at a Washington State. He got that win. They got very fortunate to get that win, and maybe they go bowling.
I can't believe I've ever said that you're part of Thunder and Lightning with me. I'm going to look at the camera here. Hey, Coach Leach, I still believe in Bigfoot.
I'm going Mississippi State +2.5. To me, it just screams situation right here, where yeah. one team blows out their opponent week one. The other squeaks by with a victory. The other opponent's at home as a home dog.
Yep.
And then NC State coming in off a 45-point victory. You could see them resting on their laurels. And Mississippi State, Coach Leach is going to have the players' ears because beating Louisiana Tech only by one is essentially losing. So,
Sean, you want it? This is the same taste as the West Virginia-Maryland game last week, if you want a reference point.
Yeah. Next up in the Colby Dance six pack, we got Liberty laying five as they head down to Troy, Alabama. Total sitting at 60.5. Colby, what are you doing here? Mostly what my handicap is one team has Malik Willis, one doesn't. But Liberty is on an insane against the spread streak, 9-0 against the spread in their last nine games.
Coaching.
13-1 straight up in their last 14 games. Troy, meanwhile, 4-8 against the spread at home. Both are coming off massive week one victories. What are you leaning here?
I'm with the Flames. And I really think it just comes down to coaching. Liberty's got Hugh Freeze. And I think Hugh Freeze, ask Alabama fans.
Huge.
I mean, he's beaten them a couple times. And he is truly, I think, one of the best coaches in America. And as much as Chip Lindsey and Troy with a nice win against Southern, they're not going to be able to just take on Malik Willis in this offense. I mean, they returned to everybody. Liberty, we saw what Liberty did to Coastal in the bowl game last year. I got Liberty big in this one.
And from what I understand, this number opened north of 7, got hit with a lot of Troy money early.
Some sharp Troy action.
Well, early at least, and the split still heavily tilted towards Troy. I'm with Colby. I think when you have a Liberty team that's shown and proven that they can perform on the highest level of college football, I'm going to lean towards the better quarterback, and I'm going to be probably, at this point, he's probably generating enough buzz to actually affect the line because people are like, oh, that's the kid that's going to get drafted. So that worries me a little bit, but back to the Troy point, they beat Southern 55-3.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing that was going to scare me off Liberty was the fact that maybe the public is square like me and just seems, oh, Malik Willis, he's on Liberty. I'm going to load up. But the fact that there's so much sharp Troy action, or not necessarily sharp, but there's just that there's so much public action now on Troy makes me feel a lot better about Liberty laying five.
Yeah, I mean, last thing I'll say is as we sit here right now, we're seeing 70% of the action coming in on Troy. So, I mean, again, the lines move because of it, but I think at some point you have to buy it back.
If you're like me, you hate getting ripped off by your wireless cell phone bill. After years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off, if we've learned anything, there's always a catch. So when I heard about Mint Mobile and they're actually offering a service at $15 a month, there's got to be a catch. The great thing with Mint Mobile, there is no catch. In fact, there's just secret sauce. What's their secret sauce? Getting rid of retail stores. Oh, okay, you don't have a retail store? Makes things way, way cheaper. And that's how Mint Mobile is able to offer premium wireless for just $15 a month. All plans come with unlimited talk and text and high-speed data delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. I still remember a time when you had to pay 10 cents for a text message. Oh, man, I'm getting old. The best part is you can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and keep your same phone number along with all your contacts. Switching over to Mint, very easy. And if you're not 100% satisfied, Mint Mobile has you covered with their 7-day money-back guarantee. To get your new wireless plan for just $15 a month, get the plan shipped to your door for free. Go to mintmobile.com/sportsSGP, mintmobile.com/sportsSGP. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month, mintmobile.com/sportsSGP. Get a couple extra $100 you can use over at the Win. Mm. Oh, Colby, Fort Collins, Colorado. Two heavyweights meet Vanderbilt, Colorado State. I don't know a ton about Vanderbilt, except that they're really bad at college football. Both teams of Vanderbilt and Colorado State lost to an FCS team, although it seems like Colorado State, they lost to a South Dakota team that's pretty solid from what I can tell. Vanderbilt, the last time they faced a Mountain West team, they were 16.5-point favorites and lost outright 34-10
to UNLV.
At UNLV. Yeah. I just cannot understand why anyone would be betting Vanderbilt. Colorado State -6 is, to me, it's easy money. What am I missing, Colby, if anything?
You're not missing anything because we are on the Rams here. Look, East Tennessee State. Look, Vandy only rushed for 85 yards against East Tennessee State. Colorado State's got a better defense than East Tennessee State, so I expect they're going to make Clark Lee throw the ball. And another thing is, I mean, that's a far trip. That is a far trip to go up to Fort Collins. I'm not look. Normally, I like to fade Steve Adazio.
SEC.
Yeah. And every time Vandy plays, actually, look, I mean, the last time the SEC came to Fort Collins, Arkansas took a loss just a few seasons ago. I think they'll get it right and give me Colorado State to roll. And I really think that rushing attack. Look at from last week, Adazio. We know what his teams do. They run the ball well. They take care of the rock. Normally poor special teams. Hopefully that doesn't burn them. But I just think they're a much better team in a much better spot. Vandy's still in new system. Clark Lee, new coach.
New coach. Yeah. And I think losing 23-3, even though you outgained the other team, but you lost the turnover battle 3-0, 23-3 still matters.
Colorado, it would have been worse.
Colorado State, on the other hand, they also outgained South Dakota State. -2 in the turnover battle, but South Dakota State is a national championship contender at the FCS level. So
we know that we're FCS experts.
The Jackrabbits, right? Did I get that right, Colby? How about that? So unfortunately, I hate to be on a public side with you, Colby, in this situation. But Colorado.
Why would you hate to be? I'm only at 62% picking every game.
Yeah, it's true. Sometimes you just have to see the stream and figure out it's moving, because some of these teams are just auto fade at this point.
Yeah, and Vanderbilt certainly fits that build. Illinois heads to Charlottesville, Virginia. Virginia laying 10 right now, -400 on the money line for the Cavaliers. 55 is the total. Now, Illinois had that upset win against Nebraska week one, lost week two. Now they had the UVA catching 10 points. Can Bielma get the Illini fighting the Illini ready to go for this game, Colby? Where are we at?
No, not at all. If you look at week zero, it was an outlier. Look at the stats, you saw Nebraska was the better team.
Like maybe it was more about Nebraska just blowing that game, even though Illinois was trying to give it to them.
I was on UTSA last week, and UTSA was the better team against Illinois.
I'm sorry, Colby, the Roadrunners?
The Roadrunners, baby. There you go. But look, Virginia, yes, they were playing William and Mary, shut them out 43-0. But what I liked about Bronco Mendenhall and why I took Virginia to win the Coastal is really Brandon Armstrong. After his first couple games last year, he struggled out the gate. Brand new starter. But then to end the season, they were hot. He was hot. He threw for 339 yards last week. I know it's against an FCS, but Illinois was not that good.
No.
Against Nebraska and against UTSA. And I think another thing is the defense. Look at the passing attack. William and Mary threw for 89 yards. 89 yards. Well, guess what? Whether it's Brandon Peters or it's Arthur Sitowski, they're not going to have any success in the air against a Bronco Mendenhall defense.
I liked what I did there. I didn't pronounce the quarterback. I let Colby pronounce it first.
Art Sitkowski.
Yeah. The only thing, am I getting too cute here?
Yes.
And thinking that UVA is possibly looking ahead to UNC next week and looking past Illinois, and maybe Illinois gets this cover?
No, I mean, look, the UNC game, sure. I mean, that's a big game within the Coastal, but I think Illinois is not a good team. I think that's the reality is that this is a team that's going to struggle to win every single game. They play Charlotte in a week or two. We saw what Charlotte just did to Duke. I think every week it's going to be a grind. There's not much explosion on that offense. Give me UVA -10. Another thing is fans back in Charlottesville, a live place.
I don't know if the fans are going to matter much in Charlottesville, but I will say this. There's nothing better than a bad team performing well early in the season, so you get a little
inflated
bump.
Value.
And as much as I hate UVA, I hate the city of Charlottesville, I'm going to lay the points here, because I don't think Brett Bielema, even though he did learn under the great tutelage of Joe Judge, All Rise, there in New York for a year coaching the linebackers, I think, to your point, that win was more about Scott Frost and the dumpster fire of Nebraska than it is about
Don't
Illinois.
Don't let Larry hear this episode. Our good buddy Larry the Cable Guy is going to be all worked up about. Yeah, I'm with you guys. I'll take UVA -10. Kramer, are we a little worried about Colby and his six pack? We're five games in, hasn't sniffed a dog yet in this six pack.
Yeah, you guys made me take away my Florida International Texas State play.
And Colby has been red hot, but the six pack actually like always, is the bane of his picking existence.
Colby, we're broadcasting from a beautiful studio. Don't bring that ugly game in there.
That game was not fit for the beautiful Blue Wire Studios. Hawaii, Oregon State in Corvallis, Oregon. Oregon State laying 11, minus 450 on the money line. Total sitting at 63.5. Hawaii really got destroyed by UCLA week one, but
might be a good team though.
No, and again, now that we have two games of data, Hawaii with a nice bounce back win over Portland State. Oregon State, they lost at home to Purdue. I think they're going to get up for this game, but I also think Hawaii has some talent. From watching that UCLA game, they were clearly a little bit out of sync, but I think it was more just about how good UCLA was. I'm certainly concerned about Hawaii's defense, but this number seems too big for me. I'm probably going to take the Rainbow Warriors here, catching 11. Colby, what are you doing here?
Oregon State was on the road last week. This is the game back in Corvallis, so that's why I'm going with the home team here, man. And Portland State threw for 400 yards on Hawaii last week. I had Hawaii locked up, and Portland State got that backdoor cover, but I just don't think they have the passing attack. Cordero, I like Cordero. I don't think he's there yet. Oregon State going to need this. If they're going to have a bowl season, this is a must-win game for them. They lost the 50-50 game with Purdue. They had a couple quarterbacks play, but overall, they still shelled out pretty good. That was a close game against Purdue. Portland State was a really, really bad team over the past couple of years. So I think it shows
the Hawaii defense is a concern, but I'm still taking the 11. Am I crazy, Kramer? What are you doing?
No, of course I'm going to take the. I think all we learned against that when they played UCLA is maybe like that UCLA team has some we were at the game. They passed the eye test. They have defensive linemen that can get after the ball against an SEC team. They have defensive backs who can get after these SEC receivers. So I absolutely love the chance that they can maybe play Oregon State to the same level. And if they can play them to the same level, this is way too many points. So Sean, let's take those 11 points. As you pointed out, it's never good when Colby's laying all favorites in the six pack.
I thought he would learn that the home environments in college football this year are going to be something. True. But hey, it's okay. You know, go with your boys.
Sean, we might have to have a performance evaluation early in the season.
62%, buddy.
If the 62%.
Colby, Colby needs to pick responsibly. And maybe we need another PSA about Colby picking games.
The worst thing we ever did was create this picking platform where Colby. Colby can see his record and it's getting blasted on social media.
And I could have put Middle Tennessee, Virginia Tech on this slate.
We know
me and Green would be riding with the Blue Raiders.
We don't need to talk about Virginia Tech right now. Everything's normal. We can just pretend like nothing happened.
Kramer's not going to acknowledge Virginia Tech. Makes sense. All right, we're going to move over to the top 25. Before we do, I want to shout out PicksWise. They're the number one home of free sports betting picks, props, and parlays. Held by a team of trend-watching, data-devouring sports fanatics, giving you the who, how, and why behind every prediction for every game, every day, and every sport, all for free. Visit PicksWise.com to make your next bet better. PicksWise backs responsible gambling. If you or someone you know wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. And I just tweeted this out at Gambling Podcast. If you haven't given us a follow, please do so. Our social media guru, Dom, who's in the building, shout out to Dom, worked up a sweet little graphic for it. What we're doing is if, fantasy football season is here, and if you make the SGP logo, your profile photo for your fantasy football team or your DFS team, and you dominate, you will win a SGP hoodie. So whoever has the biggest margin of victory in their fantasy football league in week one, or whoever has the biggest DFS pull, whether it's a $20 contest, 2,000, maybe you hit. Hey, if you win the Millie Maker and you have the SGP profile, you also get a free T-shirt. So whatever it is, you load up your SGP profile and grab the one. We got one. I think you can get it from Twitter. You'll be able to figure it out. You know how to save a photo. You're a smart person.
Which by the way, pulling back the curtain, we're all waiting for our flight to Vegas today on Tuesday. And of course, in Nevada, you cannot play DFS. And so we're all just sitting. We're sitting on the plane, just furiously firing away $5 Millie Maker lineups, trying to get every quarterback in there. So we're locked and loaded.
We're locked, loaded. Top 25 games. Oregon heads to Ohio State. Columbus, Ohio. Ohio State laying 14.5. Of course, coming off a 14-point victory against the Gophers. 63.5 is the total. I had Minnesota as my bonus lock. Hopefully, if you bet Minnesota, you got some. You got the 14.5. There were some 14.5s floating around there at kickoff. Colby, what do you make of this game? Stroud struggled early, but then the Ohio State receivers, I mean, damn, they look like they're on another plane, completely unguardable, and Minnesota just couldn't compete. Obviously, they lost Ibrahim, and yeah, it kind of all fell apart there in the second half. What do you think about Oregon heading into Ohio State?
I've been wanting to fade Oregon in this game for about 6 months, and as you saw, look, first off, Kayvon Thibodeau, maybe the best defensive player in the country, he was in a boot against Fresno State.
That's
a problem. And he made one of the biggest plays of that game. I refuse to believe he's going to play for this game, but I know they say maybe. Fresno State outgained Oregon last week, guys. And had Oregon not made those two turnovers to start the game, Thibodeau's strip sack, they would have lost to Fresno State. So I'm riding the Buckeyes, and I think it could be a blowout here. Anthony Brown's going to get tested. He went, I threw for 172 yards against a Fresno defense that was in the top 10 worst a season ago. I know Ohio State's defense wasn't great in the pass defense realm last year, but I think they're improved, and I think this is a statement opportunity for them. Give me the Buckeyes minus the points.
This isn't our first rodeo, guys. 14.5, really? Minus 14.5. Ooh, yeah. What great value. Half point on Oregon. Who's the quarterback?
Anthony Brown.
Yeah. From
Boston College.
Yeah. Not good. And then what do we have? Oregon, the strength of the defense, surely not their defensive backfield. As Sean pointed out, this Ohio State team is overly loaded. And honestly, kind of felt like they had a bad game against Minnesota. Kind of felt like,
Yeah, it did feel worst case scenario. And then Stroud came out. He was looking rough, kind of throwing the ball around. And then they just reminded themselves, oh, wait, we're Ohio State. We have athletes. We have a bunch of five stars that you can just not guard. And I don't see anyone in the Oregon secondary that can handle the receiving corps of Ohio State.
It just seems like this team's going to struggle to not put up 35, 45 points a game. So it's like, can Oregon keep up with them?
How about the Ryan Day Cristobal matchup? Cristobal still has a lot to show me from a head coaching X's and O's in-game coach, essentially. Day is going to own him, I think. Day made great adjustments in that Minnesota game. I just think you got to ride with the Buckeyes here.
Yeah, as much as it pains a friend of the program, Bo Weiss, who's a diehard Ducks fan, I think we got to go Ohio State here, even though it's chalky. 7 picks, Kramer, all favorites. Colby's sitting at. Now we head to Ames, Iowa. Iowa squaring off against Iowa State. Iowa State laying 4, minus 200 on the money line. 45.5 is the total. Colby, what are we doing here?
This line's too big, man. It's Iowa State. Last time they played, I think it was, 18-17, the final score.
Why is it 4?
It was 4.5.
Why is it not just like 3?
Yeah, I think they're trying to tell us, but let's be honest. After we saw what we saw in week 1, Iowa was the better team.
They waxed Indiana.
Yeah, Iowa looked really good.
Indiana returned a lot of production.
Yeah, but was Iowa State looking ahead to this game, looking past their super soft week one opponent?
Well, they shouldn't have been looking at that.
Buying into the hype a little bit, and then they're gonna go hard in this game.
If Matt Campbell had them looking past Northern Iowa, who the last time we didn't have a COVID season took them to triple overtime in 2019. Then there's something wrong. Give me the Hawkeyes to cover the 4. They're a live dog.
Ooh, live dog. Yeah, I'm going 4. Why? I feel like it could be a bit of a letdown game because I feel like Iowa really got up for that Indiana game. But also, I think maybe I was just the better team, and why not take the better team and 4 points?
And Matt Campbell has yet to beat the Hawkeyes, and I don't know why he's favored then.
We have seen this Iowa team struggle when they leave the friendly confines.
Yeah, but normally the state.
We have seen them struggle. And honestly, for me, this is a tricky spot because I do think Iowa State's the better team. I do like the form of Iowa better, but I'm more in the camp of what Sean said. I do think there's always a look ahead element when you're playing. Mm. Colby, you're the only person in this country that loves the FCS as much as the FBS. So I certainly
can't factor in a team looking past an FCS opponent. Why would you do that? Hey, Montana's a good team.
Iowa State hasn't won a conference title since 1892. Right? Northern Iowa's been putting way better pros in the NFL. Like, they should be sitting there saying, how do we model ourselves like Northern Iowa?
But it's a nice program. I think maybe it's the third best program in the state of Iowa. And I think in this case, for everyone that's going to say, hey, he hasn't gotten the win versus Iowa, Matt Campbell gets the win versus Iowa. I think they cover here. And, you know, the last thing that, what do we say about public dogs, Sean?
They got fleas.
Sometimes they got fleas. We're seeing 70% of the tickets coming in on Iowa because they saw Iowa just beat the crap out of Indiana. And they saw Iowa State just squeak by Northern Iowa.
This feels like a field goal game. So I'm going to stick with Iowa +4.
You said it right there. You go back and look at Iowa losses from a season ago. They lost by 4 to Purdue, 1 to Northwestern. This team doesn't just get, they don't get blown out.
They're not going to get they're not going to get their ass kicked. I feel good about that.
There's nothing like when Colby has to pull up the schedule to prove a point. You should have brought the schedules with you to the UCLA game so you could have explained LSU's scheduling woes.
Yeah, well, McNeese is a that's a tough opponent this week in Baton Rouge. They just lost. They're coming off that loss to West Florida of the D2 West Florida. It's a tough opponent.
It was
for the
amusing
SEC.
Because Colby just kept calling him out for scheduling FCS opponents, which he loves the FCS at the same time.
No, but they schedule bad FCS opponents. They don't schedule Northern Iowa.
But even the fans were kind of like, what are we going to say? We schedule crappy teams. I'm sorry.
The guys in front of us were like, yeah, we do. I'll just never forget a woman in the back just kept going, what does Will Wade have to do with this game?
Everything.
And that's what Colby kept saying. Everything. Will Wade cheated. How are you guys cheating?
Dude, Patrick Peterson's on record saying he took $200,000.
Who got paid? Patrick Peterson admitted $200,000. And everyone's just watching the game, not rehashing. Yeah, I'm sure Kevin Love got paid $200,000. I'm breaking that news.
That was Beach Boy.
Okay, but I don't think anyone on the UCLA football team got paid $200,000.
Right. We're no longer picking games, Colby.
Washington.
Focus.
My imitation of Colby got him fired up. The Huskies catching 6.5 points as they head to Ann Arbor, Michigan. Total sitting at 49. Oh, man. And you want to talk about looking ahead. I know no one would ever do that, but clearly this Washington team, or maybe they just honestly are worse team than Montana. We're about to find out on Saturday. Big news for the Wolverines. Ronnie Bell, star receiver, number one receiver, out for the entire season.
Seems important.
This line keeps going up emotionally, and maybe I'm just trying to salvage my Huskies to the college football playoff pick, and I just keep picking against Michigan in spite of the fact that they destroyed Western Michigan. I'm taking the Huskies +6.5. This is a massive bounce back spot for them. And I think losing a number one receiver like that is going to be a bit of a letdown. And maybe it'll take a little bit for their offense to figure it out. And I think Washington is going to be hungry. The same reason that Phil Steele liked the team to make it to the college football playoffs. Like, they have talent. And I think they're going to be up big time for this game. Give me the Huskies +6.5. Colby, are you with me?
I am with you, man.
Okay, another back-to-back dogs.
Yeah, if they can limit, I mean, Dylan Morris, I don't know if he even starts. 0 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, against Montana. But if they can just do that, Ronnie Bell's out. Michigan struggled with the big play against Western Michigan. So, obviously, I think Washington, Jimmy Lake, the head coach.
It's all about defense.
He's a defensive guy. This is going to be a close game even if Michigan wins this, but I agree with Sean. I think Washington might get this outright.
Sean, what was the spread mere weeks ago?
Well, and Terrell Furman, contributor over at SGPN, he's going to be out here in Vegas with us. He's throwing it out in the YouTube chat that this game was -1.5 for Michigan before that Montana loss. 5 points it's changed. Did they get really 5 points worse, or did they?
And if you're going to learn one thing from us, we like to fade the public. Lots of people betting Michigan, right? But also, you can't turn away from that kind of line movement. This is a clear spot. Last thing I'll say: why is this number bumping up against 6.5 and not going to 7? Because they don't want to take that +7 action the other way.
Another thing,
take the +6.5.
Another thing to point out is look at like when App State beat Michigan. These teams were in FCS beats a top 25 or preseason top 25 ranked team. Normally, those preseason top 25 teams have a decent season.
Well, so, they just got embarrassed. Yeah. The state, like
How many people, honestly, how many college football fans, if you asked college football fans from all over the country, how many of those college football fans could point to Montana on a map? 70%?
You need other states for a frame of reference. I don't want to talk a lot of map smack and have it burn up in my face.
But even take the year JMU, shout out to Patty C, beat Virginia Tech in Blacksburg. Virginia Tech still had a good year that year.
Yeah, I don't want to talk smack either, but I think Montana might be state 50 out of 50. So,
all right, we got some bonus games to get to, but before we do, I want to shout out Odds Crowd. It is an amazing pick tracking app, but again, they also have free fantasy betting contests. It's got a social app for sports bettors as well, free to download. But most importantly, they're giving away $30,000 in cash prizes. I know we're participating. I got my week one college football picks in there. There's still time to hop in on the college football season long, and it's unit based. So just go heavy, go hard. I know Colby's picking every game, but there's still time to catch up. $3,000 first place prize for the college football one. $10,000 prize for the NFL free roll football contest. Can't miss it. Just click in there. And then they're doing weekly free pick'em contests for SGPN users who download that app, $100 each a week for those prizes. So make sure you check out oddscrowd.com or download the Odds Crowd app. And while you're downloading the Odds Crowd app, get the SGPN app. Get in on that free shot at $100,000. We got a bunch of NFL spreads and a few totals in there. Go undefeated. You win $100,000. All the lines courtesy of our good pals over at WinBet. Texas heads to Fayetteville, Arkansas. Texas laying 6.5. Total sitting at 57. We were talking a lot of smack on the Longhorns week one. Are we backtracking from that? Kramer, I'll let you start.
All right. So here's what I'll say. Some of the commandments didn't do all that well. All right. I shouldn't call them commandments. They're not commandments. Thou shall. And one of those was fade Sark. We said, you know what? Fading Sark seems like a good thing. It's been good to us in the past, but I want to, let me get this right. So I have this clip.
Find
for
your
later.
Camera, Kramer.
If I could just apologize to you, Matthew McConaughey, I didn't realize what I was doing. I didn't realize that Sark was going to channel your vibe energy and just bring this Texas team out to what could they be going on the ultimate FU tour? Could they be going on the ultimate? You guys think we ruined college football? We're going to show you. So I am going to remove temporarily. I'm going to suspend fading Sark as a principal. And I'm going to once again apologize to you, Matthew McConaughey. I would love to come down there on the Gulf Coast, bang some bongos, and take in a game in Austin with you, sir. So, yes, I'm taking this is a tough one, right? Because this is the ultimate time to want to fade them.
Oh, yeah.
But, God, they have athletes, and they might be good. And Arkansas, Colby's going to tell me why he likes Arkansas right now.
No.
But, okay.
I was the one guy that took Texas last week. So
last thing I'll say is I just think I think until this team plays someone with a defense, they're going to continue to win shootouts. And Arkansas doesn't have a defense.
Well, I can tell you this. Arkansas struggled with Rice. And
their offense struggled. They had KJ Jefferson had 21 passing yards in the first half. If this game ends up being a shootout, would you think Texas's offense has the ability to put them in a shootout position? How are they going to compete? And Hudson Card looked pretty solid. 14 of 21, 224 in the air, 3 touchdowns, 2 passing, 1 running. It feels like, again, I don't hate taking Texas as a road favorite here, but I'm going to have to do it. I'm going to have to lay the 6.5.
I'm with you, man. Arkansas, we saw them only with I like Sam Pittman, but we saw them with the SEC only schedule. They overachieved last year. This year they have a death schedule, in my opinion, and even outside of the SEC schedule in the SEC West. And Rice played them tough, and I just think Texas is a better team, and I think Sarkisian is going to be able to find success against that Barry Odom defense.
Maybe he found the like perfect amount of alcohol to drink. You've been there, right? Where you hit that zone, you have a couple drinks. You
it was like noon on Saturday. Yeah. But noon, I was feeling. Sean, when me and Kramer were throwing the football.
When Colby was out there running, butting Hucks feeling on top of the world. That was like Sark in week one. Yeah. Now maybe we get Sark in week two is like Colby right before he's escorted out of the Rose Bowl.
I mean, think about it, Sean. Hostile work environment, USC, private school, stuffy. Now we're coming to Texas, a school that was willing to hire Matthew McConaughey to be an ambassador. This is a man who is very open about his hobbies and habits, and he is their culture ambassador.
All so right,
Sark, Sark saw that and he said, "Oh, hello, Austin."
All right, next up, we got a game in. Is this in Denver, Colby, or is it in Boulder?
It is in Denver.
They're playing at the Mile High Stadium there. The Buffs, a 17-point home dog against Texas A&M. Total sitting at 51 points. I know, Colby's probably putting this on there because he wants to take his Buffs. Colorado 5-3 though against the spread as a home dog since 2018. I can't fade a Colorado team as a massive home dog. It's just too many points this early in the season. The conditioning's out there. You know I love betting with Elevation, Kramer. Tell me I'm crazy and you're taking Texas
Sean,
A&M.
Do you know what the Elevation in College Station, Texas is? The home of Texas A&M and the fraudulent...
100 feet.
338 feet.
Okay. That's pretty good.
Guess. Number one, the Elevation will matter. We love taking the Denver Broncos in the NFL week one, week early, two, week one, for week that two. Reason. Two, a head coach of Texas A&M, his name is Jimbo. Jimbo's a fun guy to fade. Last thing I'll say, I truly believe this. Colby, you pointed it out to me, right? What happens? I know this isn't a true road game.
Well, that's what I'm afraid of.
But you saw how many LSU fans were at the Rose Bowl.
Yeah.
In a true home game. So Denver, there will be Texas A&M fans. But if there's one thing I love rooting against, it's these people and their 12th man.
Not the Seahawks in danger, Russ, is 12th man.
I'm sorry. Was Texas A&M's crowd taking the world by storm last week with As Enter Sandman blares? No. No, they called themselves the 12th man. They trademarked it, so the Seahawks have to pay them, which, by the way, that's annoying. So, yeah, no, I mean, obviously,
also
you fade a team like this because I do think, all the way back to Sean's original point, that Elevation matters here. And they don't need to mop this one up, right? Like, tell me I'm wrong, Colby.
Well, I am a bit scared because Colorado looked bad against Northern Colorado. They started to look because of transfers. Sam Noyer now at Oregon State. And then they had their quarterback, JT Shrout, out for the year. So Brandon Lewis, freshman quarterback, he was in a battle for the starting spot, but he struggled against Northern. Well, they didn't also give him a lot of looks, but he kind of struggled against Northern Colorado. The offense did. I am concerned about this. I will say this, though. A&M in Colorado used to play in the Big 12. A&M winless in Boulder in those 11 years prior to them joining the SEC. In Denver, does that make a difference? I do expect a lot more A&M fans to be there. I hate these games that aren't on campus. But I'm not going to fade my Buffs, even though I just was not impressed with them playing a bad FCS.
It seems like the kids in Boulder have found a way to rally together and do things as a group. So maybe they can migrate to Denver and go to the game as a group and cause some ruckus.
This is like my ECU play last week, where it's like, my heart is involved with this. You should probably take A&M, but I'm on Colorado. No.
Well, if you make Utah if you make Colorado plus 17, your lock and your dog, auto fade, as you did with Eastern Carolina. And what about my boy, Chad Bryce? Everyone's in here.
Chase Bryce.
I call him Chad. Everyone doubted the App State quarterback, who I don't know his name. I took the over on his passing yards. Hit that easily. Crushed the back of the ECU Pirates. Take that flag down. App State roll.
Another one of those dumb neutral site games. Play that in Greenville. Or Boone.
All right.
Yeah, we're in trouble. I don't know about the Buffs play. If there's one play on here that I don't trust, it's the Colorado one because they did not look good against Northern Colorado to me.
Head to beautiful Provo, Utah. Utah, a 7-point favorite. BYU at home. BYU plus 230 on the money line. Total sitting at 48. Utah has been red hot ATS, 11-5 against the spread in their last 16 games and 6-1 against the spread in their last 7 road games. Whew, BYU kind of let Arizona hang around, but now maybe that's the case. My instincts normally handicapping rivalry games is to take the dog, especially when it's a home dog. catching a full touchdown. Kramer, any chance you're laying seven here with Utah?
I mean, we do love our guy, Charlie Brewer, of college football tournament fame last summer when they canceled all sports and we still brought you a college football tournament that had more than four teams. No, I hate the way my card is looking because I feel chalky. But I told you I wanted to fade this BYU team coming into the season. I faded them week one with Arizona. I'm going to fade them here again week two. I do expect Utah to be one of the premier teams in the Pac-12 when all said and done. And I hate that this is on the road. But again, we highlighted how much BYU was replacing this offseason. So I don't think I saw anything in them barely beating what we think is maybe the worst, one of the worst teams in the Pac-12 in Arizona.
Who knows after Montana came through there, right?
Sure. But so to me, I think the plus seven nature of this number is maybe going to trick some square sharps into thinking they're taking a nice home dog spot. But yeah, give me Utah to spoil things in Provo and soak all over their parade.
I'm Mr. Square Sharp. I'm taking BYU plus seven. It's the holy war. It's a rivalry game. They're going to be jacked up for it. They're going to be
and we didn't see
crushing
it last
decaf
year.
Coffee before the game, getting ready to go. Give me seven.
You want to stand on the other side of Iron Man?
We did.
Go for it.
We didn't get this game last year, unfortunately. Look, and Utah's won, I think, eight in a row. Eight in a row, I believe. But look through these scores, with the exception of 19, which obviously is the most recent one, 30-12. But before that, one score game in Salt Lake City. Before that, one score game. Before that, a 1 point game. Before that, one score game, 3 point game. You know, like all these are close battles.
He's bringing
they
out the
hate
schedule.
Each other. this is what you got to do. You got to take the points here and trust the process.
Trust the process. Air Force.
Colby knows how to identify public dogs. He is good at that.
Air Force heads to Annapolis, Maryland, squaring off against Navy. Air Force laying 6.5, total sitting at 41. Man, I do like this Air Force team, but again, rivalry game, home dog with Navy. But Navy, if you look at their, they've been outscored 104-10 last two season openers. To me, it's as simple as Air Force knows how to throw the forward pass. Navy does not. Case closed on the handicap and give me Air Force -6.5. Colby, what am I missing here?
Well, first off, I was shocked that Marshall did that to Navy. I was completely shocked by that. But I think this is the big game for 9/11. They're doing a big ceremony for 9/11, 20 years since 9/11. And I just think last year, Air Force beat them 40-7, right? But Navy had, both teams had COVID issues, but Navy was really depleted with COVID that particular game. I think this is a closer game than those scores indicate. Give me Navy in the points. Air Force probably gets the win, but give me Navy in the points.
Wow. I mean, isn't Navy one of those teams when they made that decision to stop practicing football that we just jot that down in our black book and until they cover a goddamn spread, maybe we need to fade this team.
Navy is still stuck in auto fade for me.
Yeah, I'm with you, Sean. I'm so chalky this week. Colby forced my hand. Bullshit.
Well, almost as chalky as Colby, who has... three dogs. Oh no, you went, you got some dogs late, so you balanced it out. All right, time for the Lock Dog Tease presented by PrizePicks.com. Head over to PrizePicks.com. Use our promo code SGP, get a 100% deposit bonus up to $100. Get some nice little entries there. And shout out to Colby, who gave out a five-player entry for college football. Helped someone turn $20 into $200 just picking over-unders. Go to prizepicks.com, promo code SGP. Kramer, in honor of the new studio, beautiful Blue Wire studio, kick things off. What is your Lock Dog Tease and bonus lock?
You're gonna make me go first after all that. You no. Rascal.
Colby to go first?
I'm happy to go first, okay. And I'm gonna give you my dog first. Hail State. Nah. I don't have my cowbell with me, but
we should have brought the cowbell.
Are
you allowed to bring that on a plane?
I got
you could do some damage with that bell.
I got a fever. All right. So Hail State plus 120. Nothing crazy there. Apologies. I am quite chalky this week. I'm going to lock up Ohio State. Again, I think the 14.5 is the ultimate trickeration. This Ohio State team looks really good. I think what we're going to learn is that Alabama and Ohio State might separate themselves. I'm worried about my Oklahoma to win the national championship pick. And then for my tease, lots of good numbers to come through here. Give me to start. Let's tease the Ohio State game down. We're just going to double dip on that one, 8.5, because we're not overthinking it, Sean. We overthought it last week.
Yeah.
We're also going to tease the UVA game down to 4. This Illinois team is pretty bad. I'm feeling pretty good with those 6 points of value. And the last leg of my tease, Sean. Boy, I don't see Air Force losing the Navy. Let's bring that down to a half.
Air Force down to a half. All right, my lock. Give me Colorado State -6. Vanderbilt is really bad. For my dog, oh man, I do like Mississippi State to win. Iowa is intriguing. Washington to get it done. I'm gonna go BYU. Give me BYU +230. Shock in the world. For my three-team tees, let's take... what do I want to do here? I'm going to take...
You didn't pick your tees before the show this week, Sean?
No, I like picking it on air. People like hearing my thinking noises. Wisconsin?
Sound like Coach Leach.
Wisconsin -20, and that's good, actually. Coach Leach +8.5, a lot of key numbers there. Mm. And then Air Force -0.5 as well. I'm going to steal that one from Kramer. What was your bonus lock? Did I not jot that down?
You said, I'm going to go now, and you didn't let me finish.
Okay.
But I can do it at the end.
All right, we'll save the bonus locks for the end. Colby, what's your lock?
My lock is the Wisconsin Badgers -26. They're going to get it done. It's going to be a blowout. My dog, we're going to go to the midshipman of Navy to get it done. I think this crowd's going to be lit.
Stop it.
Give me that. And... tease, let's take Washington to 12.5.
Okay.
Let's take Virginia down to 4.
That's a good tease.
And let's go Wisconsin down to 20.
The tease god himself, watching the process, pulling back the curtain.
And bonus play, let's go Georgia Southern +7 against Florida Atlantic. They just played Florida. They got to load up against the triple option. Georgia Southern known. That last year, Georgia Southern blew them out, so... chance for revenge for Florida Atlantic, but I think Georgia Southern covers this, maybe even wins outright. Sprinkle some on that money line.
My lock, Coastal Carolina -26.5. We saw Kansas. They won their first game in 700 days.
The fans,
stormed the field. Colby and I are currently pushing our one win on the Jayhawks. I don't feel great about them getting to 2. I'm celebrating the push with the Kansas fans. Huge letdown game coming off their only win in a couple of years. Coastal, which is a legit good team, rolls at -26.5. Kramer?
All right, I'm going to get cute. Penn State coming off a big win on the road. Who do they have next week, Colby?
They got the Auburn Tigers, yes.
This week, they play the super senior-laden Ball State +23.
Okay, Ball State +23. All right. We got it. We got it. First show in the books here at the beautiful Blue Wire Studios in Win at the Las Vegas. And make sure you check out that WinBet app, up to a $1,000 risk-free sports bet. Check them out over at winbet.com. Download the SGPN app. Get in your picks for the week one contest for your chance to win $100,000. Give us a follow on Twitter at GamblingPodcast. For the Sports Gambling Podcast, I'm Sean Stacking the Muddy Green, and he is Ryan.
I'm going to do it again. Bonus lock, Syracuse +2 at home.
You're crazy.
Against Rutgers.
Rutgers rolls. Kramer, let it ride.